together. If you would follow along as we take the next step in moving into the book of Exodus in the leading of the Holy Spirit. This text fits beautifully with Mother's Day, and I pray it'll be an encouragement to all of us. Read with me from Exodus chapter 2. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and came and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it, saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister, the baby's sister, asked Pharaoh's daughters, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went, and who'd she get? She got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." May God add blessing and inspiration and understanding to his word this morning. Well, mothers are important, aren't they? They're important to our families. They're important to us individually, but they're important to our society as well. George Washington said this about his mom: "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am and I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." Her name was Mary Ball Washington. President Andrew Jackson said, "There never was a woman like her. She was gentle as a dove, but brave as a lioness. The memory of my mother and her teachings were, after all, the only capital I had to start life with. And on that capital, I have made my way." Andrew Jackson about his mother, Rebecca Jackson. President Abraham Lincoln about his mom, Nancy Lincoln: "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." I like this one. John F. Kennedy, talking about Rose Kennedy, he says, "Mothers all want their sons to grow up to be president, but they don't want them to become politicians in the process." And President Reagan, about his mother, said, "From my mother, I learned the value of prayer, how to have dreams and believe I could make them come true." Well, regardless of the challenges that you may have faced in the relationship with your mother while you were growing up, she was given to you by God, played an important, essential role in your life. In Scripture, we find all kinds of mothers, and many of them show valuable characteristics of godliness. Timothy had a godly mother and grandmother who greatly influenced him, and he followed in her footsteps. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. As Timothy led the church in Ephesus, as Paul led the church in Ephesus, he described Timothy's faith heritage. Look at this: "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. The Apostle Paul talking about younger Timothy. In our text this morning, we see a quite unusual and challenging picture of motherhood. As we learned in our sermon last week, the Israelites were harshly treated as slaves under the Egyptian Pharaoh. That cruel leader was so self-centered and jealous of the growth of the tribes of Israel that he ordered every Israelite boy that was born to be thrown into the Nile. We can't even imagine the heartache, the grief, the pain that God's children were experiencing. Please understand that the hand of the Egyptians was so strong and so constant upon their captives that women and families had to comply with that commandment of Pharaoh. As we look at our text, we see that at least one of those Israelite couples refused to follow that command. Look at our text in verse 1 of chapter 2 of Exodus. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Now this couple was a special couple, obviously, the parents of baby Moses. The parents of baby Moses. But I want you to see something here that you could fly over if you're not careful. The first thing said about this couple was that they were from the tribe of Levi. They were from the tribe of Levi. Levi being one of the 12 sons of Jacob, but not just one of the 12 tribes, a set-apart tribe. A tribe whose responsibility would eventually be the priesthood of the nation. They would be the tribe who tended to the tabernacle, the place representative of the presence of God. They would be those who facilitate worship and accept the sacrifices of the people. This would all happen in the events to come in Exodus, and we'll see them later. And in Leviticus and in Numbers, notice the book of Leviticus starts with the four letters L-E-V-I, the Levites, a book of the Bible named after the tribe of Levi. They would be the priests. Listen, they would be the spiritual leaders of the nation. The parents of Moses just happened to be part of that tribe. There's a passage in Numbers chapter 8 that outlines the tremendous significance of the Levites. Numbers 8 and 9 says this: bring the Levites to the front of the tent of meeting and assemble the whole Israelite community. You are to bring the Levites before the Lord, and the Israelites are to lay their hands on them. Aaron, who was the high priest, the oldest brother of the Levite tribe, Aaron is to present the Levites before the Lord as a wave offering from the Israelites. And look at this last phrase: so that they might be ready to do the work of the Lord. The Levites were a special chosen tribe of the people, set aside for the service of God. Moses' parents just happened to be a part of that group. Friends, this couple was chosen. Set apart. Say set apart. Set apart to serve the Lord. They were part of a priesthood of servant believers. They truly were chosen of the Lord to serve him. Oh my, if we could all see and sense the calling of God in our lives. I said, if we could see and sense the calling of God in our lives. He has called you by name, friend. He has called you to follow his commands. He has called you not to follow the commandments, the desires, or the culture of a sinful, worldly mindset. Make no mistake, that earthly, sinful worldview that Pharaoh followed after brings pain and grief and death. The mom and dad of Moses would not obey the evil command of Pharaoh. They were set apart to serve the Lord. Look at verse 2. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When they saw that he was what? They hid him for 3 months. Note that they saw that he was a fine child. Commentary according to Pastor Scott. Moses' mom saw something special here. Moms see something special in their kids. They see something special in their kids. They sense and they see what has been birthed. Not just a person, a human, but a future, a potential. That's what moms see in their kiddos. I don't believe there was any way these parents could possibly foresee the amazing future of Moses. But mom saw that he was a fine boy. This boy, whose beginning was so fragile, whose beginning was so threatened, God would use him in amazing ways. Moms see potential in their kiddos, don't they? Look at the personal risk that these parents undertook for this child. They hid him for 3 months. I can imagine there were moments when they were scared to death that he would be discovered. And most likely it would not have turned out good for them if the little one had been discovered by the soldiers of Egypt. This is what parents do, especially moms. They do what they need to protect their kids. Rabbit trail alert. Helicopter moms. Moms who hover somewhere near their school-aged kids, just waiting to swoop down and rescue them with anything that is needed. A Band-Aid. Lunch money. Anything that that little one might need for the day. Our Rhonda is the best mom ever and still has some helicopter in her. Anything Anthony or Jeffrey or Elizabeth might need. Any helicopter moms in the house? The continuation of this verse and says, when she could hide him no longer, there came a time. In the household of the parents of Moses, when they knew that if they tried to keep this little one in the house, he would be discovered. So what did she do? She found herself a basket, and she coated it with tar and pitch, and she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance. Moses' sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Mike, did I put an image there? Yeah. That made me think a lot about that scene. The river we grew up near had some areas where there were, what they call them, bulrushes, where they had those plants that, cattails, there you go. Hiding him from the Egyptians had become impossible. Rather than risk her entire family being caught and punished for hiding her newborn son, Moses' mother comes up with a plan. That's another thing that parents do, mothers in particular. They come up with a plan for their kiddos. Enough said. She will, in a kind of roundabout poetic sense, obey Pharaoh's command to cast Moses into the Nile. Pharaoh commanded them to throw the kids into the Nile, and what did she do? She put him in the Nile. At the same time, this action would give some hope, say hope, some hope for her son's survival. She makes a basket from bulrushes and papyrus reeds and coats it with pitch so it will float. A side point here. The construction of this little baby basket has some similarities to Noah's Ark. There are actually some writers down through the years that have talked about the Ark of Moses. The Ark of Moses, which included the pitch that allowed it to float in the water. The last part of the verse reveals the mother placing Moses in the basket and putting the basket among the reeds by the river bank. Unlike many movie portrayals of this event, the basket was strategically placed in the reeds where Egyptian women would see it. The baby was not allowed to drift downstream, at least not according to Scripture. There's no indication that Moses floated any distance down the Nile, nor that he was abandoned to an uncertain fate. His mother clearly hoped that a woman, that someone would come by and care for him. And the fact that Moses' sister is waning and prepared with the right words is no coincidence. No coincidence. When God's hand is on someone's life, there will be his provision and his providence from a very young age. The mother of Moses, in seeing the hand of God on her child, was acting in faith. I would use the phrase putting it all out there. Seeing to it that there was an opportunity for God to work in the future of this little baby boy. The placing of this child in this particular place and in this particular way gave this little guy a chance. And mom knew it. I think that Moses' mom saw with the eyes of faith that the little child Moses would have a shot at it, would have a chance, and would have that chance because of the hand of God. Remember, Moses' parents were set aside. They were set aside for his purposes. Moms, dads, that's what we're called to do. Raise them up, protect them when they're young, and then put them out there to be a blessing to the world, to follow what they have been taught. Now look at verse 5. When Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it, and much to her surprise, she saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. Whoa, just a second. This is a daughter of the evil king Pharaoh. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Not only did someone find this bundle of joy floating in the basket in the water, but he was found by one of the daughters of Pharaoh. And listen, because of the heart of a woman, because the heart of a mom has compassion on a little one, even this daughter of evil Pharaoh couldn't resist the cry of a baby. This young woman, no doubt, knew what her dad was doing to the Hebrew families. Yet it says she what? Felt sorry for him. And she recognized that this was one of the babies that was supposed to have drowned in the waters of the Nile. Look at this next verse. Enter Moses' older sister. His sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? I would be glad to help in this situation." "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Who did the girl go and get? The baby's mother. I love this story. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. Look at this. See the hand of the providence of God here? Not only did the daughter of Pharaoh feel sorry for the baby, but Moses' sister suggests, "Shall I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse him?" And without objection, the answer is yes. And the baby ends up back in the arms of his mama. I love the providence of God in the life of someone. Oh. And with a paycheck to go with it. Remember what I said last week about redemption? What was meant for harm, what was meant for evil, what was meant for pain, God turns around for good. Redemption. I got to say a word here about Moses' big sister. Any of you have a big sister? Some of you had a big sister. God used her, and we find out her name is Miriam. Miriam, I love that name. It's kind of a glamorous name, I think. But let me show you something about Miriam. I don't want to get too far ahead in our Exodus story, but this is worth looking at. I want you to see Miriam a few years after this. You've all heard the story about the crossing of the Red Sea as Israel is delivered from Egypt. You've read the story about God's victory over Pharaoh's army, but do you remember who sang the solo in the celebration song after they got across on dry land? Look at this, Exodus 15, 19, when Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters back to the sea over them, but the Israelites walked through on dry ground. Look at verse 20. Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, also Moses' sister, took a timbrel in her hand. That's a tambourine. And all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. And Miriam sang to the Lord, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and the driver he has hurled into the sea." When the child grew older, when Moses grew older, when Miriam grew over older, Moses took his staff and he struck the sea, and the sea parted, and his people were delivered, and the Egyptian army was conquered, and there's Big Sister. And what's she doing now? She's the worship pastor. She sang praises to the Lord. Been a lot of music attached to the song of Miriam. That's the older sister who went and fetched Mama. That's the older sister who saw to it in a very practical and real way that little baby brother Moses would have a chance. Later, she'd be his worship pastor. Now, I don't think Miriam or Moses' parents or anybody could see the life of Moses out ahead or could imagine. I want you to see something really interesting here. Verse 10, when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Listen, as painful as it had to have been, the parents of Moses kept their word. They had made an agreement with the daughter of Pharaoh that when this child was older, he would go back to her. I said earlier this morning that there's a lot of emotion around motherhood. There's a lot of joy, a lot of memories, but there's a lot of pain. A lot of pain. I think of couples that have taken in a foster child only to eventually have to give that child up. I know of families who have been in the adoption process, that in the middle of a process which should be so joyful, so fulfilling, a process that should be so much the answer to prayer and the answer to a dream, there comes disappointment and tragedy. We all know of women who would like to have been a mom, would like to be a mom. Moses' mom and dad kept their word, as hard as it must have been. They returned him to Pharaoh's palace once again, casting him out into the Nile of this world. That was pretty good, Snyder. Once again, casting him out into the Nile. Once again, seeing the future with faith. That not only applies to moms with reference to our kids, but it applies to all of our lives and how we continue to move forward in the calling that God has for us. We look forward, we move forward, we sense forward times in faith. In faith. How can you legitimately think that you can hand this child back over to the palace of evil Pharaoh? I'll tell you how you can do that. You can do that because you know that the hand of God is on that child. You know that the hand of God is working. And I want to, how did they know that? They know that because they saw him work before. They saw him work previously. And so their level of trust, their level of faith in God continued even as they cast him out again into the world. Parents of Moses were still believing. They were still protecting. They were still loving. They were still trusting God. What a unique and amazing story. But I think God's in the business of unique and amazing. We see it throughout the scriptures. I hope you've seen it in your life. I hope you've realized that you're called and you're special in the mind and heart of God. I hope that that you understand that he sees you as set apart to be his child and to love him and to serve him. And through the pain of life, through the things that we walk through and experience, our best hope of future is faith in God. Whether it be your kids or your neighbor's kids, whether it be your kids' kids or your kids' kids' kids. My mother is going to be a great grandma for the first time in September. This one here is going to be a grandma for the first time in September. She ran into a little journal that she had written back when our twins were this high. And the heart of a mom shines through in those words. I want to ask you this morning to trust God for the future. To trust God in faith no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what you think or no matter what you think the future may hold or may not hold, God's got a plan. And it's probably unique, and it's probably extraordinary, and it is going to take you by surprise. Oh, that we could see the future of our Moseses, of our Moseses. What is Moses plural? Is it Moseses? What a life the man Moses was going to live. And we're going to see it in the next weeks. One of the reasons I'm so excited about preaching in the book of Exodus is to share with you the extraordinary life of Moses. But this morning we saw the start of that. And it started by the faith of his parents. It started with the heart of a mom. Father, thank you.